So we continue on with the theme that I started last week, based on A.A. Milne's Winnie the Pooh stories. And so I invite you to sing along with me. The words go, Winnie the Pooh, Winnie the Pooh, chubby little cubby all stuffed with fluffies. Winnie the Pooh, Winnie the Pooh, willy-nilly silly old bear. Katie's got it. Katie will sing with me. Winnie the Pooh, Winnie the Pooh, chubby little cubby all stuffed with fluffies. Winnie the Pooh, Winnie the Pooh, willy-nilly silly old bear. So I did start talking about the stories of A.A. Milne last week, and the nature, the philosophy of Winnie the Pooh, just to live in the present, live in the now. Don't worry about tomorrow. You can catch that on our Okotoks United Church website if you're interested in last week's sermon. Today, A.A. Milne always started his stories with the words, in which. In which? Some kind of an adventure takes place. And today, we're not too creative, but we came up with, in which we meet Pooh's friends. Very few of us have not at least heard of Winnie the Pooh, and most of us know more about Winnie the Pooh and his friends than we let on. And I'm going to test that theory right now. And I'm going to invite you to help me to identify all of the characters in the Winnie the Pooh stories and tell me a little bit about each one of them. So we start with... Yes, you all know, Christopher Robin. What do we know a little about Christopher Robin? Little boy. Little boy, yep. He actually caretakes all of the other characters in this story. And if I might go so far as to say, this might sound a little sacrilegious, he functions very much in these stories as kind of a Christ-like figure, where he tends to, he provides for, he helps them solve their problems. When they need something, they go to Christopher Robin. And Christopher Robin helps them out, not always by solving their problems, but by helping them to solve their own problems. So that's Christopher Robin. And Winnie the Pooh. Everybody knows Winnie the Pooh. Very few people in the world don't know Winnie the Pooh. And tell me a little bit about Winnie the Pooh, besides he's a bear. He loves honey. He loves to eat. Yes. He's very sweet, kind of naive little bear. He's described in the stories as a bear with a little brain. However, he's the one who's most often they come to for companionship or to help them solve their problems, all the characters in it. He likes adventure. He never seems to worry about tomorrow. He likes to get involved in things, and he likes to be part of things. Anything that's going on, he hates to be left out. He feels terrible when he's left out. But he's a very sweet, caring little bear. He loves everybody. Now we have... Rabbit. This is how Rabbit looks, actually. Rabbit is a bit of a cantankerous sort. Mm-hmm. It's funny, when I was doing this out at DeWinton, and there's like about 12 people there, they related to these characters, and one way went right away, now I know what I'm like. Rabbit's always busy. He's one of these characters that's always rushing from one place to another, always likes his own importance. He thinks he knows more than he does. He's a bit of a know-it-all, and he gets a little frustrated with people and annoyed when they don't go along with what he wants to do. He's coming up with schemes quite often, which are kind of a little bit mean sometimes, but he comes around eventually. That's Rabbit.
Piglet.
Piglet. Piglet. Piglet is Winnie the Pooh's best friend. He's very sweet. But he's often a bit scared. He's very fearful of things. And so he goes along with Winnie on things, but he's like, maybe I should stay at home today and just cover my head and not go out. That's Piglet. But he's very caring and he's very sweet and he always wants to play along, but he's a follower. He's not a leader. He's always following Winnie the Pooh.
Eeyore
is hanging out the baptismal font today. Eeyore doesn't usually feel like a part of the crowd. Woe is me. He's most likely described in the stories as gloomy. Gloomy. In fact, one of the stories I had to laugh, he looks in a pool. I do this once in a while myself, and he goes, pathetic. Just pathetic. He doesn't have a very positive view on the future often, and he's always looking to the future. And he just thinks nobody cares, and life is not always good for Eeyore. Although he can get excited when people offer to do something for him. He doesn't do it himself, though. Somebody has to come along and perk him up. Otherwise, he's always...
Owl.
Just owl. Owl's not like... Rabbit, who is a know-it-all. Owl actually knows things about things. That's how Piglet describes him. Owl knows things about things. He doesn't know everything, but he is the one in the forest who can spell his own name, W-O-L. But nobody else knows, so it's all good. So they quite often come to Owl to figure things out because they think he knows things. He doesn't know everything, but he knows a lot of things, and he knows a lot of big words that he's always having to explain, and he kind of talks nonstop. Anybody relate to that? We all relate to some of these characters in one way or another. Kanga. We know Kanga because she's got a pink friend. Kanga is very nurturing, very motherly. She's the only female in the whole crowd. And she is a little overprotective, particularly of her little son, but of the others too, and eventually one of the other characters, the last one we'll see, she takes into her home and looks after him. But her son, Roo, is always saying, Mom, can we do this? And she'll say, we'll see. And he always says, we're always seeing about something. We're never doing it. He's not too impressed by that. That's Kanga. Then, of course,
Roo.
Roo's energetic and lively and loves adventure and doesn't get to go on adventure too much because he's a little fellow. And he'll be out doing something and trying to get attention like kids might and say, look at me! Did you see me swimming? Look at me! And nobody's paying attention to Roo. So once in a while, he gets out on an adventure and loves it. He's quite adventurous, this little fellow. And finally...
Tigger's bounce.
And bounce and bounce and bounce and bounce. Somebody told me at DeWinton, Tigger is ADHD. Indeed. Tiggers love to bounce. Tiggers get involved in all kinds of things and things that they shouldn't get involved in. And they bounce all over the place, from this thing to that thing, and Tiggers think they're good at everything until they try it and they're not. Tigger's always saying, somebody said, Tigger, can you do this? Most often Roo. Tigger, can you do this? And Tigger say, that's what Tiggers are best at. And of course they're not, but the next thing, that's what Tiggers are best at. Tigger annoys people with his energy, particularly Rabbit, who's usually a little annoyed with Tigger. Tigger's very bouncy, very upbeat, very loving, very speedy. That's Tigger. I had to be speedy this morning when I couldn't figure out what to put those in, so I was out sawing wood and drilling holes this morning. Creative, memorable, lovable characters created by A.A. Milne, characters that we can all in one way or another relate to. Who doesn't know an Eeyore, or a Tigger, or an owl? Who doesn't? Or who can't relate to rabbit, or piglet, or poo at times? We find ourselves and the people around us embedded in these brilliant characters created by A.A. Milne. There's a little of them in all of us. This is the brilliance of A.A. Milne and other children's authors. They capture the spectrum of human personalities and experiences in their stories in entertaining, profound, and enlightening ways. That's why they so capture our imagination as kids and even as adults. The best stories, like Winnie the Pooh, are timeless tales that impart wisdom, values, and insight into human nature. I was thinking about this week, about these children's stories and using them for a sermon series. And I decided that while adult literature these days are very honest and direct and may represent our complicated reality in the world today, I think that children's literature reflects better God's vision for the world. Caring, loving, getting along, curiosity, simplicity. This is the stuff of children's stories. Perhaps that's why Jesus reminds us that no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they become like a little child. Look at all these characters. They're very different characters. No two are the same. They don't hang out with people like them, or with critters like them, maybe I should say. They represent the immense diversity and variety of human experience and human encounters. As we explore the interactions and adventures of these characters, we can see ourselves, our strengths and our weaknesses, our eccentricities and quirks. And we're reminded that despite our differences of personality, race, gender, age, IQ, status, we can all get along together, and we need to get along together. Our lives are enriched as we spend time with those who are not like us. Yes, we can get annoyed and frustrated at times. Sure, we don't always have good days, and sometimes we downright fail to understand each other, like Tigger and Rabbit. But at the end of the day, if we're willing to try, the world is a better place when we seek to spend time with, enjoy, and embrace each other. The world is definitely a better place for diversity. There's a Muslim saying that states, "A lot of different flowers make a beautiful bouquet." It's true, as they say, variety is the spice of life. Author Catherine Pulsifer puts it this way: we're all different, which is great because we're all unique. Without diversity, life would be very boring. I love people watching. Anybody here like people watching? I love people watching. I have no problem sitting anywhere in the world just watching people. And when they're wrapped up in their own little lives, doing things when they think nobody else is watching, that's the most fascinating time. Sitting in a cafe or park in Paris is just the thing for observing the variety and assortment of people in the world. Or driving in the streets of India and watching the mass of humanity go about their day. Or visiting a church in Bethlehem or Jerusalem as people of different color, culture, and language stand beside you, marveling at the magnificent human story of birth, life, suffering, and death. On a subway or in a mall, I'm fascinated with people and the immense variety of people that there are in the world. Have you ever played this little imagination game where you sit someplace and you imagine somebody's life, what their background is, what their life, where they're going to, where they're coming from, what their life is like, what their background is, what they do for a living? You make up a story about their background. I remember doing this sitting at a park in Paris, just watching and enjoying the people. Archbishop Desmond Tutu of South Africa once said, "Isn't it amazing that we're all made in God's image, and yet there is so much diversity amongst God's people. Even more than watching people, though, probably one of the top three things I love to do is to sit and have an in-depth conversation with people. It's one of my favorite things to do. I have a fascination with getting to the heart of what makes people tick, to understand how they think, what motivates them, what excites them, scares them, challenges them, what their life has been like, and what dreams they have for the future. I love having these conversations, for it's in having these conversations that I actually begin to understand a little bit more of myself, a part of myself. There's a Sanskrit saying that says, I can see myself in all things and all people around me when we look. When we make an effort to understand and accept each other, we find that we have much more in common than we think. In fact, it really is in trying to understand the other that we began the process of peace. The author of the book of Acts understood the world to be created this way. In chapter 17, the author writes, "And God made from one person every nation on earth to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him. Yet God is actually not far from each one of us." The author sees God, the creator and sustainer of all things, as being the source and the destination of all people on earth, because God is not far from any one person and connects us all together as one human family. It's our calling then to recognize this and to live it. In Romans 2, the Apostle Paul states, God does not show favoritism. And then in Galatians and Colossians, Paul suggests that God does not discriminate between males and females, between Jews and Gentiles, slaves or free, or people of different backgrounds and races. And in fact, I think the writer would add today we might say that God does not choose favorites among poor or rich, gay or straight, liberals or conservatives, mentally able or mentally challenged, blacks, Asians, Aboriginals, or whites. God is blind to all of these arbitrary designations we create for ourselves because God loves us all conditionally, unconditionally, and without prejudice. And if you want to read how one biblical writer envisions the fulfillment of God's kingdom, read the vision that you find in Revelation chapter 7, where the writer says, after seeing several events unfold, says, "And after this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" God is not partial to anyone. God is partial to all. Just like Christopher Robin and his little menagerie that he loves and tends to in the 100-acre wood, he is benevolent to all, tending to their troubles and needs. God tends to the entire world, moving as spirit throughout the world to bring reconciliation and peace, love and hope to this very fractured world. This is our work. This is the work we are to be tending to live into right relationships with all people, to embrace our differences and live in this grand world together, doing God's work together. The brilliant writer and poet Maya Angelou once said, "It's time for parents to teach young people early on that in diversity there is beauty and there is strength." It's not just for parents to teach that. It's for all of us to embrace and teach it. We begin by seeking to understand and ultimately accept, even enjoy each other, especially those who are different than us, to have those conversations that really matter, to appreciate each other for who we are and what we bring to this complex, interwoven, beautiful world we call home. Max Dupree was a Fortune 500 business entrepreneur who made a name for himself making furniture. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. I read a book of his several years ago called Leadership Jazz. Very good book. But it was his commitment to Christ and his moral values that earned him a solid reputation as an ethical business leader. Wouldn't we like to see more of that today in the world? He fostered the idea of an inclusive corporation, one in which all voices are heard. He was known for his efforts to combine a caring organization with business success. Max Dupree died this past week, Tuesday this past week, at the age of 92. But his legacy lives on through his leadership books and those he passed on his values to. And he wrote this: "We need to give each other the space to grow, to be ourselves, to exercise our diversity. We need to give each other space so that we may both give and receive such beautiful things as ideas, openness, dignity, joy, healing, and inclusion." I think he just pretty much summed up God's kingdom and the world of Winnie the Pooh. A place where all can grow, enjoy life, be together, live in harmony with creation. Diversity is God's blessing. Rather than reject outright those who are different, we need to seek to understand and embrace them. As St. Francis of Assisi said, our job first is to seek to understand and then to be understood. To see them as a source of beauty, to see all people as a source of beauty and unlimited possibility to learn and grow. Winnie the Pooh and all his friends lived in the midst of a fantastical world that shows us how to enjoy and embrace people, no matter who they are. We too live in a beautiful world that is better for its diversity of people, ideas, and experiences. May we be open to the potential and possibility that our lives will be expanded to embrace God's creation in a generous and hopeful way, such that we welcome the stranger who just might become our friend.